Time now to take a look at the other side. We've got Ashley Campbell here in the studio, Orange County Conservative, joining us to talk about, God, what are we going to talk about? I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know.
Can't even imagine. Yeah. A swarm of bees took over Times Square, took over a hot dog stand at Times Square.
That sounds terrifying.
That is a little bit terrifying.
That's nightmare fuel right there.
Yeah, right. I just saw this on Facebook like a couple minutes ago, and I can't stop thinking about it.
Sorry to whoever was there.
So everyone is talking about Silent Sam and the toppling and the UNC's meeting today about next steps and all of that. Should mention, first of all, Ashley, you are the mother of a one-year-old, and you've also been moderating the Orange County Local Board for the last week. Have you slept?
Oh, gosh, that is so funny. It has been really busy. We actually added a couple of new moderators to help
just
with the load because, it's... You log into Facebook and you have about a million notifications with a group of, I don't know, 54-ish hundred people.
Yeah.
So it's busy.
All right. So we got a couple.
Asking.
Yeah. You never know. So we got a couple of specific questions that we want to talk about. But first of all, just your general thoughts on everything that's happened in the last like week and a half.
Oh, boy. Where do you even start? I guess, everybody knew that this event was going to happen on the night of the 20th, because that was Maya Little's original court appearance date. Mm-hmm. And, so I guess going into it, I thought, well, they're just going to have this event and didn't think a whole lot of it. I was sort of watching the news coverage live because, news crews were there and you could watch live stream and whatnot. And I, even when I saw the specially printed bandanas that said "Silent Sam Must Fall" or something like that, with the three arrows, which is an Antifa symbol on it, and everybody was putting it over their faces, I thought, oh, that's funny. They think that they're being really serious. In hindsight, I realize now, oh, they were serious. Yeah, they were there. They were there to tear the statue down, and they were, brilliantly organized with the whole. Everything in hindsight, it's just I almost envy their skill because they had these banners there. They knew they were going to put them up around the statue. They knew that they were going to deploy smoke bombs to get people distracted so people could get behind them with the equipment needed to take the statue down. They knew that they were going to have to move across the street to distract the police and get police over there so they could, tie ropes around the statue or whatever else they were having to do behind the banners. They got people on a banner ring holding banners around the central banners that concealed the statue so nobody could get close. It was all very well planned out, and it was just I think so well done. A lot of people, including myself, were really shocked. Like, I don't think that we knew what we were up against, and I think now we have a better clue of what people are here, at work in our community, that say that they're here to dismantle racism, but I'll just say that I'm skeptical that that's their total goal.
All right. So there's a bunch of different questions that people are asking. There's a bunch of different questions that people are not asking that maybe they should be asking. So there's a whole bunch of different angles that that we could come at this whole conversation on. And I love the people who've come on the air in the last week, and we've talked about this from a whole bunch of different perspectives. But the one question that I've been interested in that we haven't really talked about on the air, and I want to pose it to you, is just sort of abstracting it out from Silent Sam and the specific debate around this particular statue and the specific thing that happened on Monday. When is it acceptable for the people, sort of independently of government or without government authorization, or in this case, explicitly with government telling them not to, under what circumstances it is acceptable for the people to take matters into their own hands and do something that is in violation of the law? We have a number of statements coming down from people who are on the right, some on the left, criticizing the way that the statute came down. A number of people have called it mob rule. There are times in history when the people take matters into their own hands and we're totally fine with it. And the example, like the obvious example, is East Berliners taking sledgehammers to the wall in 1989. Other times, the people take matters into their own hands, and it's obviously mob rule, mob justice, something to be rejected, condemned, and very strongly criticized. And the obvious example of that from American history is like lynch mobs in the 1920s. And then there's a whole lot of space in between, and Silent Sam is somewhere in the middle of that because it's contested. Some people saying it's not acceptable, some people saying it is. But when is it acceptable? Like, what is the rule? What is the standard that we apply to say this was okay or this was not?
Right. For me, it's the same test that I put on a lot of different questions that, you know, the action or the actors seem to be operating in a moral gray area. And I just ask, you know, is this action going to work toward making our society more free, or is it going to make our society less free? So that's why, you know, I've seen a lot of people compare this to the Boston Tea Party. Mm-hmm. Like, well, hey, wait a minute. You know, these Bostonites in 1773 poured what would today be over $1 million of tea into the harbor, and they're, you know, true American heroes, mm-hmm. right? And I hear that, I understand that, but so why I would say that's okay and why I would say this action isn't okay is because, without getting into all historical nitty-gritty
right.
about the taxation, well, everybody knows taxation without representation, but, you know, the Tea Act and all that sort of thing, without getting into all of that, you know, I think that the actions for the Tea Party, the radicals that were involved there, and they were, of course, truly radicals for the time, were interested in having a revolution that would end with a government that allowed people more freedom, mm-hmm. more liberty, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. I'm not sure, although I think the people who may have been involved, the core organizers of mm-hmm. this act, as well as the one in Durham, because there's a lot of overlap over who's involved. And so I think that they also may want a revolution, but I don't think that their revolution, because, you know, Antifa is a communist organization. Communism hasn't historically worked out really well. It doesn't generally result in more freedom, and more like authoritarian regimes with gulags and starvation.
I'd imagine there's a number of Antifa people who would be listening to this going on right now saying, no, we're not communists, we're anarchists.
Like, of course they would disagree with me.
There's a whole bunch of different groups within that movement.
Yeah, of course they would disagree with me. I mean, they would probably say, no, we are advocating for a government where people would be more free. We couldn't even agree on what freedom is.
Yeah.
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 It's just too far apart.
Yeah.
Like, we could not do it. And so they would say that, you know, just as convinced as I am that they are not advocating for anything that would result in more freedom, they're saying that they would probably say that they are. You know, that's kind of where I draw the moral line, mm-hmm. how I make those distinctions in historical events. And you know, it's also interesting because we would also have a difference on what oppression surrounds us, because, you know, people who are involved and radical groups like Antifa see oppression everywhere, as do I. But we, you know, I see government everywhere, like governments in our pocketbooks, governments in our lives. It won't leave us alone. That's sort of my take. But they, you know, they see oppression. They're more focused on, you know, systemic racism, sexism, you know, that sort of, you know, more social initiative, I guess you could say. And economics maybe seems to take a backseat. Although that's there, that's certainly there too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, but you know, we couldn't agree on even basic definitions for terms like that. So.
We always talk about just starting to teach American government at Durham Tech, and one of the first things we talk about is like liberty, equality, and democracy as being like the three like dominant values in American government. And then we talk about the contested definitions. There's a mm-hmm. famous quote by Martin Luther King about freedom, and there's an equally famous quote about George Wallace also about freedom. And you stick the two of them side by side, and it's as if they're yeah. talking about the same thing, and they're talking about completely different things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, I think that's always a problem.
Yeah. It's interesting you bring up the Boston Tea Party, because I was thinking about that earlier, because you think about like movements of like extra legal movements by the people against a government kind of thing. So the Boston Tea Party comes up, and Monday night I'm on the internet, like furiously going from website to website and seeing the commentary on this. And I had the same reaction to the toppling of the statue last week that I did. And we talked about the toppling of the statue in Durham last year.
Mm-hmm.
And we had that conversation, and I've got the same exact reaction, which is yay protesters, 100% on board with them. I do think that the difference between civil disobedience and lawlessness is you accept the consequences for your actions. Martin Luther King wrote the letter from Birmingham jail and I think that's a significant thing. So we'll see how that develops down the road. But I'm sitting there on that night going, yay, protesters knocked it down. I also watched the John Adams miniseries with Paul Giamatti, where they show the Boston Tea Party, and they've got John Adams kind of standing off to the side going, what on earth are you people doing?
Right.
So my reaction to the Boston Tea Party is, I think if I were alive in 1773, and hindsight is 2020, I would probably be wrong about this, but if I were alive in 1773, I would not nearly be as in favor of a bunch of people playing dress up and going and throwing tea into the harbor. But see how that worked out, right? It leads
right.
to a good place.
No one has a crystal ball.
Yeah.
So that's the tricky thing about this. And with all of the actors involved, you know, you want to, oh, it's very tempting to assign their intentions when you don't necessarily know what their intentions are. They could be not as sinister, or they could be even much, much worse than what you could possibly predict. But, you know, I think going forward, actually looking backward for a second, I mean, we had this little conflict on campus last Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
Between different you know, Confederate, I don't know what to call them, like ACT Back, Alamance County, Taking Back Alamance County, and there are other groups that were involved that came
to the quote-unquote Oath Keepers who aren't really.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing that I just wanted to briefly mention in a second. But then you had people come out that, you know, ultimately got a little bit violent, and there are 7 arrests. And then, you know, going forward, looking to this Thursday, there's another event that the Confederate groups want to have and have worked with the Chapel Hill or maybe campus police, I'm not quite sure, to ensure that they'll be able to just have a candlelight vigil at the pedestal, Silent Sam pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, I don't know who's organizing it, but a group that's going to have a Silent Sam Forever speak out and dance party
right.
at the same time in the same place, because they knew that this group was going to have a candlelight vigil. And I mean, that's where I get quite frustrated, because it's like, okay, you know, you could have your dance party later. You're young. The Confederate flagger people are old. Like, you can stay up later. Just have it after they leave. Have it the next night. You know, do your celebration. That's totally cool. That's fine. Whatever. But, I mean, I don't know why they have to have it at the same time in the same place. Like I said, the police is they're going to be there, so it should be interesting. And you know, and then you also have little acts of aggression that are not quite as heated, like, you know, the flaggers who try to leave flowers at the pedestal. People just come and take the flowers away, and things like that. And you know, that just makes people that just makes people angry. So you know, I don't see a lot of action or words, much less action, from our elected leadership, for example, to tell people, you know, maybe just even if they approve of tearing down the statue, you know, just like, now that it's done, don't try to make violent conflict happen when it doesn't need to. But I haven't really heard anything like that. You know, instead, we get a statement from the county commissioners that's applauding the actions from last Monday. And, you know, to me, the whole statement felt like being yelled at. Like, there was no room for civil discourse to argue about this. And lots of people wrote the commissioners, and they're not going to respond. I mean, it was amazing because, you know, Earl McKee said on his Facebook page after the fact that he wanted to have something about, you know, condemning mob justice, or, you know, like, now we need to let the legal, like, legal action take its course, something to that effect, but was shot down. And then he just said, well, so be it. And, you know, so that's not really advocating in any significant sense for the rule of law. I mean, his concerns didn't make it into the statement, so he might as well have not had any concerns, because their words matter. I mean, people see this statement and they take it to heart, and I know, you know, Commissioner Burroughs as well, you know, thinks the same way about civil disobedience as you do, that people need to face up to legal consequences. But you would never get anything like this out of the statement that they issued. So, you know, if that's what they really think, they need to start, you know, thinking it through. Like, maybe they were still giddy when they issued the statement, but, you know, a little bit of language like that maybe would have gone a long way. Instead, it just makes people who are frustrated over the event even more frustrated, because we know now that the commissioners aren't concerned with, you know, extra legal action, you know, damage to public property. So, you know, I don't know what else we would have to do, but leave Orange County, because our voices aren't heard here.
We're going to have to leave it there. I want to keep going forever, but we got to wrap up the hour. Ashley Campbell, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.